Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome inside the Radio Laurier Studios. We are live from Waterloo, Ontario, here on Radio Laurier. This is Gold in Bold, the sound of Laurier Sports. It's our weekly sports show here on the station. I'm the sports manager here for Radio Laurier. My name's Ian Bailey. Glad you can join us here. It's just me in the studio. Usually we have a couple other co-hosts, but they're unable to make it as it's getting a busier time as we head into February. A couple midterms probably next week or the week after before we head into reading week. So it's a busy time for academics, and it's a busy time for Laurier Sports too, of course. A couple of sports in action tonight. If you're just tuning in here again, my name's Ian Bailey, and if you're just listening, you know, maybe listen to the music and then my voice popped up. Sorry about that, but hopefully you'll stick around to hear the sports show, and then we'll get you back to music. After, of course, men's hockey, of course, in action tonight. Men's basketball and women's basketball, all for the Golden Hawks, also in action tonight. So it's a packed house for Laurier Athletics this weekend. Of course, tonight it's men's hockey. And if you're a faithful viewer or listener and you tuned in last week, you probably heard my 20-minute Laurier men's hockey rant, which I will not apologize for. And their fortunes have not changed over this past week. Men's hockey now 4-15-4, still on a measly 4 wins of the season, 12 points. They play tonight, of course, at Waterloo Memorial Recreational Complex. There'll be fellow sports team members, Connor Gaudet and Bernavan, Varna Kumaran, on that call. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll have it on Radio Laurier, also on OUA TV. They play tonight versus the visiting team out of Concordia. Laurier, quite the underdogs in this matchup. Concordia 18-2-2-1. It was December where they did not even have a regulation loss yet. They have since gotten 2 regulation losses, among with a pair of overtime losses and a shootout loss. But they're 18 wins, 2-2-1 for 39 points. That's not just first in the East. That's first overall in the entire OUA. Concordia, first overall men's hockey team in the OUA. They're visiting the Rec Complex tonight to take on the home team, your Laurier Golden Hawks, who are notably, you know, not first in their division. They are last in the West and second last overall in the OUA. Of course, only ahead of RMC. Only have 1 win on the season. Men's hockey, again, 12 points on the season. Concordia more than tripling them up with 39 points. Good for first. So it's first in the OUA versus second last in the OUA. But Golden Hawks have had some pretty decent recent games. I'm not just saying that. I was there for a couple games calling them. And they've been playing pretty well coming out of the break. At the start of January, they had a close game series and won one of them against Lakehead. A close fought Battle of Waterloo, too. So it on paper, it seems like a wipe. But I'm not saying the Golden Hawks will, you know, win or anything, but it'll be a pretty tightly contested game. And I think, as you know, you really want to, these last couple games of the season, you're going to put it all out there, and you're looking to be a bit of a trap game. We'll see if that ends up. Because it always seems, as you kind of go towards the playoff line, all these playoff teams, all the best teams in the league, they drop some stinkers almost. You see this in all professional hockey. You see the OHL, you see the NHL especially. You know, use an NHL example. You know, you'll see towards the end of the season as all these, you know, high-ranking teams are, you know, have their eyes and their ears already on the playoffs. They kind of fall into a trap and take some of these easier games at the end of the schedule a bit easier than they should, of course. There's, you know, he said something like, you know, Leafs top their division, but Leafs are known, you know, they'll, towards the end of the season, they might drop a clunker against, you know, the Coyotes or the Ducks or the Sharks. Or it's, you know, like Minnesota Wild, Winnipeg Jets, they'll drop a clunker against the Blackhawks, who really have no business beating these really strong teams. But near the end of the season, that fatigue sets in, you're already looking towards the playoffs, you're gearing up, and you might not take the weaker teams as seriously towards the end of the schedule. So we'll see if this happens here tonight. Also, home games for the men's basketball and women's basketball teams. Of course, not only home games, but embrace your culture night. It's culture night at the Athletic Complex Gym here on campus in Waterloo. Of course, men's basketball, 7-9. That's good for third in the West Division. They face 11-6, top of the West Division. 11-6, visiting Western Mustangs tonight. Of course, Western on top of the West Division for men's basketball, part in hand of the 6-game winning streak they've been on. They won 6 in a row. They were 5-6 the last time they lost, and now they're 11-6. So a great streak for the visiting Western Mustangs. We'll see if the men's basketball team can hold them off, of course, last weekend getting a win in the Battle of Waterloo. Tay Donald, of course, won the Athletes of the Week and really the offensive catalyst for these men's Golden Hawks on the court. Tay Donald in that win getting his 1,000th point as a member of the Lower A Golden Hawks. So shout out to Tay Donald, of course, won the Athletes of the Week as well, in part for that performance. And then before the men's basketball at 8 p.m. gets set to go at the AC Gym, it's women's basketball at 6 p.m. getting set to go. They made it to 500 last weekend in the Battle of Waterloo. I called that game. It was a great game. They're 8-8, and they're riding a 4-game win streak. So again, coming out of the January break, the past couple weekends, this women's basketball team has been quite strong. And I'm impressed with some of their play, especially like Cassidy Hurdle. I really liked Jana Engie, of course, just a couple weeks ago, getting a near historic game. Career high, I think, is maybe 32 or 34 points, just maybe a handful of points from the all-time single-game record from the Golden Hawks. I think she's second in all-time single-game points in that game. A couple games last weekend against the visiting Algoma Thunderbirds. So they've been on to a 4-game win streak. Of course, they also face the visiting Western Mustangs. Of course, women's basketball team 8-8. That's good for fourth in the West. 10-7 are the Western Mustangs, and they're third in the West. So they're scrambling for this fight for that third spot in the West, fight for that playoff line. Of course, Laurie, again, on that 4-game winning streak coming into tonight. And Western Mustangs riding a 2-game losing streak coming into tonight. So that'll be a terrific game, I think. Again, you have a streaking women's basketball team taking on the team one spot higher than them in the standings, but who's riding some negative momentum, having lost their last two games. So even though they're on early, I think that might be the main event at 6 p.m., the women's basketball squads of Laurier and Western going at it. Of course, women's hockey, if you're looking for a guaranteed pretty well, I shouldn't say guaranteed, that's a jinx right now, they're not going to make it, but for a team that's pretty solidly in a playoff spot and should be in a playoff spot come the postseason, for a Laurier team, you're looking at the Golden Hawks women's hockey team, the Lady Golden Hawks on the ice. They're 13-6. 0-1 as of today for 36 points. Of course, they passed Windsor, so now Windsor's fourth, and Golden Hawks are third in the Western Division. Of course, they beat Lancers earlier this week, or maybe last weekend at Windsor. So strong road game. They beat them 2-1 in a tightly fought contest to take control of that third place spot in the OUA West for women's hockey. Not only the third place spot in OUA West for women's hockey, but they are nationally ranked in the top 10. U Sports national ranking. Laurier teams, this is, football team here, always ranks in the top 10 nationally. They spent the majority of the season either at first or tied for first. But the women's hockey team, achieving a national ranking, they are ranked 10th nationally, U Sports nationally, for the first time in that top 10 in over a decade. Since 2014, I was 10 years old. I was in elementary school. That's a while ago. I'd never even heard of Laurier before. That's how long ago it was. They're ranked nationally in the top 10, number 10, for the first time since 2014. So congratulations to the women's hockey team for that, and they'll be in action, so you can catch the nationally ranked Laurier women's hockey team. You can catch them in action tonight at Brock. So it's a road game tonight. You can catch that on OUA TV. But tomorrow, they're back here, and they're back home at the Rec Complex visiting or taking on the visiting York Lions. Notably, both Brock and York, their two opponents this weekend, of course, visiting Brock tonight and then at home taking on York tomorrow night. So if you're looking for a home game and want to watch some local hockey, make sure you check out the Rec Complex tomorrow night for the women's hockey game. But again, they take on the visiting York Lions. Brock and York, both below the Golden Hawks in the standings. Of course, Lorraine claimed that third place spot in the OUA West. Brock is sixth in the OUA West division for women's hockey, and York, for the same, is seventh. These teams have faced off before, and Golden Hawks have had the upper hand in recent matchups. So the women's hockey program doing well. They're going in this weekend as the favorites. Let's see if they can keep it up. Of course, I'm singing the praises of the women's hockey team for pretty much the entire season. And it's always really nice. This is my third year covering sports, part of the Radio Laurier. And my first 2 years, the previous 2 years, I was pretty well almost solely doing the women's hockey team. So even just two short years ago, they weren't a playoff team. They were struggling. They weren't really pretty to watch. And they're undergoing it's a self-proclaimed sort of rebuild. There's a lot of young players. A lot of the aging players moved out, and they did a lot of scouting, and they got a lot of young players. And so it took a couple years to develop, which leads to my third year in this year. Of course, in my fourth year, academics. This is my last year covering them. So it's great to see, from 3 years ago or 2 years ago, the first and second years that the Golden Hawks acquired. Now, we're all in our third, fourth year. And it's great to see them all develop. It's great to see them get continued success. Each season they've built upon their foundations of the previous. And here they're getting rewarded with some strong play. I've been impressed with some of their plays. 2 years ago, you would not have caught me really saying that a lot. Some of their play was very, very jumbled, very littered with simple errors. But they've tightened that up. Head coach Kelly Patton is an astonishing coach. I've talked to her on a number of occasions, and her hockey mind is something, and the way she just, her hockey IQ really is something that really fascinated me in our conversation just last month. And it's, again, great coaching staff. Kelly Patton is going to mention is also was overseas with the FISU, the International University Games. So that's how you tell if she's a good coach. If she's getting the nod nationally to represent all university teams, she's probably a good coach, and we're probably pretty lucky to have her for the Golden Hawks. And again, it's great development of players over the past couple seasons, and it's just been great to see the women's hockey team take that extra step. And of course, again, nationally ranked for the first time in over a decade. Now, elsewhere for Golden Hawks news, it's the football offseason, but it's not the offseason for quarterback Taylor Algersma, the reigning Hike Crichton Award winner for U Sports Football MVP. OUA champion, went to the U Sports Final for the Golden Hawks, of course, losing that heartbreaker to the Laval Rouge A-Or. But Taylor Algersma is astonishing, is a very, very strong quarterback. We've known this for a while. All the Golden Hawks on campus have known Taylor Algersma is something special. And it seems the NFL is taking notice too. Of course, he recently invited down to the Reese's Bowl for prospects, and he's the first OUA quarterback in history to get that invite. And he's been mixing it up with a lot of NCAA, a lot of college schools down in the States. And so he spent the last couple weekends at various all-star games, all-star bowls, and training and prospect bowls throughout the month of January. And it's great to see Laurier not only on the map, but it's great to see OUA in general and the talent that we have in the OUA get recognition south of the border. But again, as a Golden Hawk and as a Laurier student, it's great. It's kind of surreal also, because you think of, OUA, really has nothing compared to the institution that is college sports south of the border in America. So it's always really cool to see like Laurier's logo, you know, like that segment on TSN, Jay on Right, about Taylor Algorithm. He's getting interviews and he's getting attention south of the border and, you know, ESPN again. It's really cool to see Laurier Goldenhawks in Waterloo, Ontario on the map when discussing really Canadian and American football. Of course, recently he gave an interview at the Reese's Senior Bowl, and I didn't load it up beforehand, so we kind of wait for an ad, but it's about a two-minute interview, and there's a bit of a section of it I thought was really interesting about acclimatizing yourself to the American football instead of Canadian football. Of course, American football, you know, bigger balls, longer field, or that's Canadian football. I'm going off the Tim Hicks Stronger Beer song. We got both got pro football, except we got a larger field, larger ball in a longer field, and one less down. Long way of saying Canadian football is different than American football. And of course, why is there another ad? I love the commercialization of the internet. Nonetheless, as we wait for another ad to go, the interviewer asks, of course, Taylor, what the differences between, you know, in the two nationalities of football and how you really acclimatize with it. And he said it's not that big of a deal. Let's listen in.
Laurier in Waterloo, Ontario, Canada. There's a lot of differences with the Canadian game, including even just the size of the ball. How have you gone about that adjustment?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I spent a lot of time in quarterback country down in Birmingham, Alabama, and worked on some of those, you know, differences in the game, you know, technique, working under center, ball size, you know, 11 guys in the field. It's all different for me, but, you know, it's been fun. I enjoy learning about the game, and I enjoy learning about scheme, so it's been embracing it all.
What about just throwing the ball? How are you kind of feeling your way through that process?
Yeah, I think that is just a thing that once you do it a couple times, you get adjusted to it. I mean, the Duke spin's great.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking.
It's just one of those things, just reps.
Not a lot of Canadian quarterbacks that come in, especially not into this type of a stage
here.
So, yeah, I think that was kind of insightful and just getting a hand of the ball and keep doing what you're doing and don't overthink it. Just get a feel, get a couple throws in. You can, you know, work your hands around the ball easier than you'd think. You'd think, of course, growing your life in Canada, you'd be so used to the Canadian way and even the Canadian, you know, physical structure and dimensions of the football, but... he's good enough to not let the American football way phase him at all. Also in Goldenhawks football news, of course, three Goldenhawks sign with CFL teams. The Canadian Football League is a busy season for the Goldenhawks on and off the field. Of course, you have Cooper Hamilton, of course, signing with the nation's capital, the Ottawa Red Blacks. We also, saying Hamilton is also a two-time second-team All-Star. And then we also have Tanner Nelms, the running back on the Goldenhawks squad. He's going over to the Montreal Alouettes with a contract that'll take him a couple of years through 2027. Of course, both these players, Hamilton and Nelms, went unselected in the 2024 CFL draft. And then they came back to Laurier to finish out their eligibility. Now, even though they're unselected, they're still getting some contracts inked with the CFL. So interesting to see how their development and their positioning in the system goes. And we also have linebacker Ani Menem. Of course, he's staying in his hometown of Toronto. Ani Menem. I don't think I've said that name on air before, so I do apologize. Ife Ani Menem. Ani Menem. Ani Menem. Anemone. Staying in his hometown of Toronto, Ontario, he signed with the Toronto Argonauts. This player did get picked in the sixth round of the 2023 draft, didn't make the final cut, and remained a free agent all year before the Argonauts had signed him. Of course, in his Laurier career, Ani Menem was a first-team All-Canadian, a two-team OUA first-team All-Star, over 120 tackles, and great players. Of course, they're moving on from their Goldenhawks football career to look to get something started in the CFL. So we say congratulations to them. Elsewhere and Golden Hawks news. Make sure to skip anything because it's been a rather rather notable past week in Golden Hawks sports. Of course, the athletes of the week. I mentioned Janet Enge. This was, I think, last week. It was Janet Enge from Basketball for Algoma Performance. And then Wyatt Wright from the men's curling team. Also got it last week, which I'm pretty sure I mentioned last week. But if I didn't, then there you go. And then this week's athletes of the week, as the aforementioned Tay Donald from the men's basketball squad, getting the nod, his 1,000th point in that win over the Warriors last weekend. And cheerleading gets a nod. Caitlin Long from the cheerleading squad. Of course, the cheerleading squad was down in, I believe, Florida the past week or two for the cheerleading competition. And I believe they did quite well. I saw something about it online. I forget to note down how well they placed. But however, I will look that up for you, because I thought, again, that was Caitlin Long from the cheerleading squad. And again, that cheerleading team getting attention, of course, internationally, south of the border, as Wilfrid Laurier cheerleading were dual medal winners at the International Cheer Union Games in Orlando in Florida. So big shout out to the Laurier cheerleading squad. And speaking of cheerleading, of course, you can see the cheerleaders throughout the football season at the football games. And now we're moving indoors, and we have the drum line. Of course, this is the first season the Golden Hawks have the drum line, bit of a marching band. You've seen them at the football season, but they also migrate indoors. You've seen them at the rec complex for hockey. You see them at the AC gym, the athletic complex gym on campus. And the drum line, it's quite loud, but it's also quite fun. And they have improved loads. Early on in the season, you could tell it was their first time doing it. They were getting some, jazz, avant-garde, Paul Simon-esque African polyrhythms in the action. But now they've completely learned and got down their arrangement and their instruments. And they've just short couple months, they've really improved. And the drumline's something I kind of look forward to now. So big shout out to the Hawk drumline and the work they put in. Again, some of them, of course, starting the season without any percussion knowledge or experience, probably not even met much music experience at all, and just to turn it around a short couple months. They're at the basketball games last weekend. I was calling the women's last weekend, and they were quite. I'm an honest guy. But they were good. And when I say they're good, that means you have to be pretty good. So shout out to the Hawk drumline. Of course, moving on from Laurier sports. We'll talk about some professional sports, and of course, my professional sport that I follow the most. I follow a lot. You kind of have to as a sports fan and as a sports manager and on the sports show. But my main sport I like following, and I like talking a lot, is the NHL, the National Hockey League. And there is a pair of trades that happened this past week. And the one major trade that got the world talking and still talking, of course, is Mikko Rantanen. Star winger, a previous 50-goal scorer from Colorado Avalanche, who, of course, won the Cup just 3 short years ago. They trade Mikko Rantanen to the Carolina Hurricanes in a blockbuster midseason deal that we just don't see anymore. And it's fun to see these big trades. And you see big trades, you see them happen in the MLB for big signings. You see them happen in the NBA. But NHL, there's a lot of, you just don't see a blockbuster trades, especially mid-season. If you see big trades, they happen in the off-season, like Subban for Weber. Close to almost a decade ago now. That's an off-season blockbuster trade. John Tavares going to Leafs. That's free agency. That happened in the offseason. That was a blockbuster signing. Stamkos signing with Predators offseason, blockbuster signing. But this is a blockbuster trade happening middle of the season, not even at the trade deadline. It's not like they're under the time crunch before the trade deadline in March. This is late January. They're eking this one out. Of course, that's Mikko Rantanen. I think this trade also broke like right after the show ended last week, so I couldn't get a talk on it, which is like terrible timing. So we'll talk about it this week. Again, that's Mikko Rantanen going to the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, in exchange for one of the great young players, Martin Natchez of the Hurricanes. So it's not like Rantanen just got traded for a bunch of first-rounders and a bunch of draft capital. No, they got a fairly strong return, too. And of course, they got Martin Natchez and Chris Drury from the Hurricanes. Chris Drury, a really dependable third-fourth liner. Martin Natchez has been one of my favorite Hurricanes players for a while. And he's on the Avalanche. You put him with MacKinnon. He could be a dangerous, even Drouin. It could be a dangerous line. So the Hurricanes do get the better player in Mikko Rantanen. There's very few players as good as him in the league. So naturally, he's going to be the best player involved in any trade. But Martin Natchez, I think, has potential to perhaps not equal Rantanen, but to, you know, be almost like a tier below, and not a bad pickup at all. Chris Drury, we'll see how he fits into the Avalanche system, but he'll be playing every game for the Avalanche. And I'm an NHL guy. I don't know much about Chris Drury, but it looks like, and looking over his career, he looks like he's pretty dependable. A third liner sort of slot in, and that's what you need, because the Avalanche, the entire time, they needed depth. And that's part why they traded away Rantanen. They needed Rantanen, a great player. His contract's coming up, and you would have to sign him to big money to make him stay. And Avalanche, Joe Sakic, the management, said, we're not willing to pay that price. And Rantanen, on the free market, you'd be looking at $13, $14 million. That's probably what he's worth. He's that good. You know, when you think of tiers of players in the NHL, you have McDavid at the top, pretty well alone. And then the next tier, you have MacKinnon, you have Draisaitl, and arguably, you know, you have Makar, and you think about defenders, you have Makar, you have Quinn Hughes, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner. Arguably, you know, Rantanen is probably, if you put Marner in that second tier of NHL players, you have to put Rantanen in there too. I think Rantanen and Marner are pretty good comparables, and Rantanen would probably have to get Marner money, and that's something that Avalanche just cannot afford. Rantanen has been almost too good to where he's kind of priced himself out of Colorado. And that being said, it did take pretty well everyone by surprise. It took the internet by surprise. No one expecting. They knew Rantanen contract talks, of course, he had to get that extension with Colorado to stay in Colorado. They knew they weren't going as fast as they wanted, but no one expected just a random blockbuster trade on a Friday afternoon. And Rantanen was not expecting it. His teammates weren't expecting it. No one was really expecting it until the management signed the deal, made the trade call. I like the move for both teams. Of course, notably, I didn't mention yet, Chicago Blackhawks, bottom of the standings. They're also involved in the trade. They got rid of Taylor Hall, who you might recognize that name. He was quite good quite a few years ago. Of course, he's one of the Oilers' first overall picks, I think back in maybe 2012, 2013, 2011. He moved on. He's been kind of a journeyman since then. He's never really gotten to that first overall, you know, echelon that, you know, the first overall picks like McDavid and Matthews got. He's never really achieved that level anywhere he's played, but he's also a former Hart Trophy winner 8 years ago with New Jersey Devils. Hart Trophy meaning MVP of the league. He single-handedly, he had a terrific season, his really only really good season he had with the 2017 New Jersey Devils, dragging that lifeless corpse of a roster into the playoffs pretty well single-handedly. So that's a pretty deserved Hart Trophy for Taylor Hall. But since then, he's had stints. He had stints in Buffalo. I mentioned New Jersey. He was in Edmonton. He was in Boston. He was in Chicago, and now he finds himself in Carolina. So Chicago also sends Taylor Hall to Carolina. It's a three-way deal. So going to Carolina is McKinnon and Taylor Hall. McKinnon. Rantanen from Colorado. Taylor Hall from Chicago. And Chicago gets a third rounder back. Rantanen goes to Carolina. Carolina sends to Colorado. Drury and Natchez, and they send a third-round pick to Chicago. Chicago trades Taylor Hall to Carolina, and Chicago also retains some of Rantanen's, Mikko Rantanen's contract, which I'm confused about because Taylor Hall passed his prime. Probably not really, you know, it's hard, and he signed to a decent contract too. So it's hard, it'd be hard to get rid of him, and his role in Blackhawks isn't really there, and he's been on decline for a couple of years. But you think, you know, okay, you trade him away, that makes sense. But you also retain 50% of Rantanen's contract. So you're giving away Taylor Hall, and you're also taking on 50% of a contract. That eats up into your cap space. That's 4, 5, 6 million eating up in your cap space. So you get rid of a decent player in Taylor Hall. You eat up half of the cap implications of Rantanen for Carolina. That's a huge favor. That's a huge favor. Cap space is like gold in the NHL. So you give away a decent player, and you're doing an incredible favor to Carolina, and you're only getting a third back? You're only getting a third rounder back? That seems not good value to get back at all. So I don't really know what Chicago was doing there. Carolina and Colorado, I agree with. I think what they did was well. Carolina needs to make a push, get over the hurdle in the playoffs. Rantanen is the player that can provide that for them. You have to give up Natchez and Drury. Natchez will probably blossom into a really good player. That kind of sucks. But you're getting Rantanen back. And you're also getting Taylor Hall, which will provide maybe some third-line scoring too, and some leadership and some experience. So, again, Colorado, Carolina, I think they both come out pretty good on this trade, which is rare in blockbuster trades, but they both come out pretty good, which is always nice to see management using their heads. Chicago management, I don't think they're using their heads. Maybe someone more, you know, attuned to Chicago's motives can correct me on that. But interestingly, I mentioned only a third rounder going back, so I've got the Google open here. Percentage of third rounders in the NHL that make it to the NHL. Only 12% of third-round selections play a game in the NHL. So you're trading away Taylor Hall, a decent player, and you're also doing an absolute favor to the Hurricanes to keep half of Rantanen's salary on your checkbook instead of theirs for one third-rounder for a 12% chance of getting a player that will play for you in the NHL. Blackhawks, interesting decision. We'll see how it plays out. Not saying there's bad players in the third round. Good players have come out of the third round. Only 12% of all third round selections ever make it to the NHL. Don't know what Chicago is doing here. Also, recent trade. In fact, last night trade. It was a mid-game trade with my Calgary Flames. I am a Flames fan, and they made a trade. Very rare I get to talk about Flames on this show because Flames, doing better than everyone thought. They're in the wild card position in the West, in the Pacific. But that's more than everyone thought they were. And I'm always feeling it's Flames fan, it's Canadian team. They never do. They always underperform, typically. So I've never been able to talk about the Flames until now. Flames on my own show. I'm the only one on the desk. I get to rant about the Flames. But positively this time, because I think they made a good trade. They send Andrei Kuzmenko over to the Philadelphia Flyers. Flyers and Flames, F-L-A-M-E-S and F-L-Y-E-R-S, making a trade cross-conference, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Calgary. If you don't know where that is, that might be in Alberta. Don't quote me on that, though. They send Andrei Kuzmenko. Been struggling since he was a Flame. He came in last season from the Canucks. Got a couple goals straight away and just has not been able to click or connect with anything. this season. Andre Kuzmenko heads over to the Philadelphia Flyers along with Flames prospect, really, Jacob Pelletier, who I really like. It makes me sad to see him go. But for the Flames, it is Kuzmenko and Pelletier going over to the Flyers in exchange for Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost, who I really like, especially Joel Farabee. I really like Joel Farabee. I really like Jacob Pelletier, and I'm sad the Flames are getting rid of him. I think he's a really strong prospect. That being said, he's not really been able to get his feet underneath him in the NHL. He's put on waivers earlier this year. You get put on waivers in the NHL. Any team can claim you. You get put on waivers to go down to the minors, and you're an NHL player. They can. Any team can just take you off the waivers and add them to your to their roster. He was put on waivers, no one claimed him. He went down to the minors. Came back up, and now he's traded. But, again, as much as I like the guy, his production and his play just isn't where it needs to be. So, a change of scenery. As Sheryl Crow said, a change would do you good, and a change might do you good here. For Jacob Pelletier, of course, the struggling Pelletier and the struggling Kuzmenko, more importantly, going to the Philadelphia Flyers in exchange for Joel Farabee and Morgan Frost, who Joel Farabee is a very good player. Probably one of the better players on the Flyers. And Morgan Frost, who is also a younger player and also has the potential to be really good. If I could spell, I'm pretty sure there's a pick involved in that trade too, and I'll get that up for you. But I can't talk and I can't spell. As Phil Collins once also said, I can't dance. Kuzmenko, trade details. That's it. So, it's pair of players along with some picks exchanged, of course. So Kuzmenko and Pelletier from the Flames over to the Flyers. Flyers send back to the Western Conference Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. The Flyers also get a second-round pick and a seventh-round pick. Now, a seventh-round pick is essentially a wash. That's future considerations. Seventh-round pick. There are occasional good players come on the seventh round, but the likelihood of that is very little. That's why they kind of just throw around seventh-round picks just as a sweetener, really. Just as a, sure, why not? Because there's probably a 1%, 12% chance of third-rounders making the NHL. Probably a 1% chance, if, of seventh-rounders playing games in the NHL. Seventh-rounder is basically just the equivalent of a handshake, compliment, and a Wild Wings coupon. So Flames send that over. But a second-rounder is pretty major. So they get Kuzmenko, who's been struggling, see if he can get it back going on the Flyers. Gets Pelletier, a great young player who hasn't found his footing in Calgary, so a change of scenery might do him well. And they get a second rounder out of this, too. Costs them Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee. I think, in terms of value, fairly even trade, but I got to say the Flames, I'm a fan of them, but I also got to say Flames come out on top in this trade. They get two NHL-ready players who can really help with the development of their other young players. Pelletier, of course, no longer on the team. But they have a couple other young players, too, and I think Morgan Frost being pretty young, too. And Joel Farabee kind of hitting the prime of his career. He's getting up to that mid-20s range and late 20s. I think good pickups by the Flames. A lot of Fs going around. Flyers, Flames, Frost, Farabee. Thought that was cool. Riveting analysis. But speaking on the NHL, before we shift gears to other professional leagues, we'll take a look at the NHL standings in case you don't really follow the teams, don't really follow the league, but want to know what's going on. The Leafs have lost their clinch, they're holding on the top of the Atlantic Division. 62 points, Panthers at 63 points for first in the Atlantic, recently taken over for the Leafs. That has been pretty well Leafs and Panthers alone on top of the Atlantic Division, but out of nowhere, the Ottawa Senators have made a push not only for the wild card spot, but for third in the division above the wild card line. Top three in each division are guaranteed playoff spots. So the Senators, just over the halfway, 10 games over the halfway part of the season, have a really strong January, really strong December too, heading into that Christmas break. And they find themselves third in the Atlantic. Of course, only 1 point ahead of the Lightning, who've had struggles as of late, who are only 1 point ahead of the Bruins. Who've had their struggles as of late, who are also only 1 point ahead of the Red Wings, who've had their struggles as of late, and are only 2 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens, who've had their struggles as of late. So it's quite an interesting wild card race, and even race for the third in the Atlantic, too. Panthers, Maple Leafs, you expect to be 1 and 2 in the Atlantic. But after that, you have Senators, Lightning, Bruins, Red Wings, Canadiens, who could all fight it out for that third spot, and also the wild card spot. The other Eastern Conference division, of course, wild card, top three in each division. The Atlantic and Metro in the East. Top three in each division are locks for the playoffs. And then the next best two teams, regardless of division, also make it in. So you can see two teams from one division make it in. You can see a team from each division make it in. But it's the next best two teams who aren't in the top three of their division. Those are the two wild cards. So currently, Panthers, Maple Leafs, Senators in playoff positions, the Atlantic. The other division, the Metropolitan, Capitals, Hurricanes, Devils, also in contention, also locked in that top three. Not locked in, but they're top three currently. Capitals, Hurricanes, Devils, New Jersey, Carolina, and Washington. Blue Jackets and Islanders also making their case for a wild card spot. Blue Jackets at 57 points are in that second wild card spot. They're tied with 57 points of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Islanders, 53 points, tied with Canadiens at the lower end of the wild card race, but still in it nonetheless. And if playoffs started today in the East, it would be Panthers, Maple Leafs, Senators, Lightning, Capitals, Hurricanes, Devils, and Blue Jackets. And what a run the Blue Jackets have been on. No one expected them to have much success this season. They don't have the strongest roster, especially coming out of that summer tragedy with the Gaudreaus. No, if they won one game, that'd be great, because winning games isn't really on their mind coming into the season. But not only have they won games, they've won a lot of games, and they have a lot of momentum. They've beaten a lot of decent teams, too, a lot of good teams ahead of them on the standings, and they've powered their way into a wild card position. And it'll be interesting to see if they're able to hang on in the West. Playoff picture. If playoffs started today, it would be the Winnipeg Jets in the West, Minnesota Wild, Dallas Stars, and Colorado Avalanche. And then the Edmonton Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights, LA Kings, and guess who but the Calgary Flames. Whoop, whoop. Winnipeg Jets, of course, on top of the West and on top of the league with 75 points. And they're top of their division, Central Division. Jets 75, and this is Central. Minnesota Wild 66 points. They're almost 10 points back of first in their division. Dallas Stars 65 points. Colorado Avalanche in that first wild card spot because they're not top three in their division. This is Central Division. Avalanche fourth in division with 60 points. And that's 10 more than the Utah Hockey Club. Of course, Central Division, one of the weaker divisions in hockey. Pacific Division, Edmonton Oilers, Canadiens, atop of the Central Division. They're tied 68 points with Vegas Golden Knights. Also 68 points. Oilers get the nod to be first. They have more regulation wins, 32 compared to Golden Knights, 31. Both are tied at 68 points. And then 10 points behind them, far away down for third, only third in the division, LA Kings with 58 points. They'll be the Calgary Flames with 57 points. Vancouver Canucks, we've talked about the Canucks a lot. A lot of their drama, they're probably the most drama-filled team this season. They're 56 points. They're only 1 point behind Flames last wildcard spot, so that's something to look out for, too. Eastern Conference's wildcard race, much more jumbled, much more close, much more interesting to see carries out. West Division's kind of shaping up. Really, you'll be, you know, between Flames, Canucks, and Kings. Three teams for two playoff spots. We'll see how that goes. Elsewhere in professional sports, MLB offseason, Jays make a move. Not the move everyone expected, but a move nonetheless. As they sign veteran pitcher Max Scherzer to a one-year deal. It's starting to come together. As Max Scherzer, one of the elite aces throughout the 2010s, past the prime of his career. But he's quite a veteran. He's 40 years old. And they signed him to a $15 million contract for his pending physical. Of course, Max Scherzer, lest we forget, three-time Cy Young Award, eight-time All-Star. And again, as I mentioned, he's one of the great pitchers of the 2010s. And before that, too. And of course, is a starting pitcher that, of course, the Jays probably looked for a while. Finally, he becomes available, but is it too little, too late? Max Scherzer is 40 years old now. He's only played about 17 games in the past two seasons. Surefire Hall of Famer. Scherzer is a Hall of Famer. Is he going to be able to provide much impact for the Jays? $15 million isn't a terrible contract, especially in MLB terms. But of all of the free agents that Blue Jays have allegedly been involved in, of all the high offense, high octane, best in the league free agents that the Jays have been involved in, it seems this is kind of a collateral prize. It seems like this is part of, it's kind of a participation ribbon. Good player. I like a lot of the old guys. A lot of my baseball knowledge comes from 10 years ago in the 2015. So, you know, when the Jays signed someone like Kiermaier, I like, because I remember Kiermaier being good and I like that. They signed Scherzer now. I like Scherzer. He's an unequivocal great pitcher. He's a great pitcher 10 years ago. However, 40 years old, hasn't played a lot in the past two seasons, has not played 20 games over the past two seasons. And we're signing him? Yeah, but like also pitching was decent at times. I do agree we need to bolster the bullpen. We also need to bolster our offense. And of all the offensive bats that the Blue Jays have been in discussion with, we get none of them, and we get 40, soon-to-be 41-year-old Max Scherzer. You take what you can get. I'm not saying this is, like, ruining the team. I'm not saying that this is an awful signing. He could be good. He could be a reliable veteran presence in the bullpen, go out, put on 5-6 solid innings at the start of, you know, every couple weeks. I think that's good. That's what we should expect. I'm not saying this is inherently a bad signing, but compared to all the other signings the Jays could have done, we're getting 40-year-old Max Scherzer, first ballot Hall of Famer, absolutely one of the game's greatest pitchers of this generation, of this century, of the past 25 years, of the past quarter century. But of all the names the Jays have been in on, the one we get is Max Scherzer. The only one we get is Max Scherzer. He may make me eat my words. He might go on an absolute. He might start 30 games the next season. He might go 30-0. He might be an absolute. Another might make it to his ninth All-Star team. Might make a four-time Cy Young best pitcher. But of all the names the Jays have been on, we get 40-year-old Max Scherzer. Moving on to the NBA, of course, the Raptors, as of a couple of days ago, they're one of the winningest teams in the Raptors. Not winning teams in the NBA. Not, like, season-wide. But in the past seven games, they went 6-1. If you're a Raptors fan, you don't want to see them winning. You want to see them at the bottom of the standings. You want to see them compete for the first overall pick. The teams at the bottom of the standings, higher probability of getting that first overall pick or maybe the second overall pick in the draft lottery. It's a bit of a strange feeling of the Raptors, again, not a strong team and are at the bottom of the standings. But out of nowhere, in seven games, they're putting up 6-1 record against decent teams, too. Now you're sitting there wondering, like, oh no. We're moving ourselves. Yeah, it's great to see your team win, but you're also, it's probably arguably better to see your team win the draft lottery than some January game in California. Interesting to see how the season shapes up for the Toronto Raptors. Of course, coming into the season, it was all tank, 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 or the ethical tank. You don't want to call it tanking. Tanking's bad. We don't want to tank. But the Raptors, again, coming into the season, and especially throughout October, November, they're the masters of the ethical tank. Ethical tank basically means that you put together a bad roster, you know you're not going to win. You're not competitive. You're looking towards the bottom of the standings. You're looking to get that draft pick. The ethical part comes in. You're still trying. Just the roster you've constructed and your inexperience is what's losing you games and your firepower. But it's not the lack of effort. And their Raptors, arguably in the entire NBA, this isn't Canadian bias, in the entire NBA, Raptors throughout October, November were maybe the most exciting team to watch. Because a bunch of young guys, trying their all, trying some plays, having fun, giving 110% of their effort, and losing close games to a lot of superior opponents. Since December, December was a pretty rotten month for the Raptors. They've stopped being exciting. Started January, they stopped being exciting. And then they started mid-January. They started being exciting again. They're now 15-32. They have won the last five in a row. They are not the bottom of the Eastern Conference. They are only 12th out of 15th. There's three teams lower than them in the Eastern Conference. That means, if you're Raptors fans, in the East solely, not talking about the West yet, in the East, there's three teams lower than the standings, which means there's three teams that have a higher probability of getting the first overall pick than the Raptors. Look in the West. Pelicans and Jazz have worse records than the Raptors. Add Pelicans and Jazz to the Brooklyn Nets, the Hornets, and the Wizards, who are below them in the Eastern Conference. That's five teams below the Raptors in the standings. That means if you're a Raptors fan, there are five teams that have a higher likelihood of getting the first overall draft pick than the Raptors. Raptors, again, 7-3 in their last 10, 6-1 in the last 7. Great to see the young guys putting wins together. Great to see them take on some superior opponents and get the dub. If you're looking to the draft lottery, you're almost putting yourself out of serious contention for that first overall pick. There are five teams, as where the standings are right now, have a better chance of getting that first overall pick than you. So it's a double-edged sword. You want to see the Raptors win. It's great for also the players, too, for locker room morale, and also for development to win some games, put on a winning streak. Like the players aren't thinking about tanking. The players aren't thinking about purposely losing games to better their draft position. No player does that. You don't get into the professional leagues by having a mindset like that. Players go out here and try to win every single game. And they have succeeded as of late. For fans, with your eyes, you're accepting a mediocre, a lethargic season with eyes on the first overall pick. Now it's weird. Now it's a bit strange. You don't really know how to feel. You know, it's kind of like your mother-in-law going off a cliff in a Cadillac. You have mixed feelings. Elsewhere in professional sports. I don't know if you guys caught the football game. The last couple minutes we have on station, as this hour has gone by rather quickly. It's a wonder what happens when you're alone in the studio and just ran about sports for a while. But quickly, of course, the Super Bowl has been decided. It's the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Chiefs beating out the Bills last weekend, last Sunday. I watched that game. I was incredibly sad and upset during that game. Kansas City refs come out again. The Bills make some interesting plays. The receivers cannot catch some key passes from Josh Allen, who looks like he might be the MVP for the NFL this year. Unable to get past the Kansas City Chiefs, unable to get into the Super Bowl. Buffalo Bills fans, they're starving for action. They've been a great team, great regular season team for a couple years now, unable to get over that hump and into the championship game. Instead, it's Kansas City Chiefs getting over the Bills yet again. Kansas City Chiefs going into Super Bowl looking for third in a row. Never been done before. Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs, one and away from third Super Bowl victory in a row. Never been done in the history of the NFL. On paper, looks like the NFC team, the Philadelphia Eagles, they have a deeper roster. They have stronger games. I'm watching a couple of games. I'm not an Eagles fan. I don't really pay attention to the Eagles. I know, I'm sorry. But looking at a couple of the games, looking at some stats, look at some of their plays, they have a really strong team. The NFC team, again, like other years against the Chiefs. Look like they have the stronger team. But what do the Chiefs have? They have the plot line. They have the storyline. They have the script. They have history to make on February 9th at the Super Bowl. Eagles and Chiefs went to action 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. Chiefs won. Eagles looking to avenge that loss. Chiefs looking to make history. We'll preview the Super Bowl in more detail next week on Golden Bold on February 7th. Super Bowl at February 9th, Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. We'll preview the Super Bowl quite heavily. It'll be a Super Bowl-themed episode next week on February 7th. Same time, 1 p.m. on Fridays. Every week is Gold and Bold. I'm glad you could be here with us as our time is running out. My name's Ian Bailey, sports manager here at Laurier. Just a rundown if you missed the top of the hour. For Laurier Sports in Action, men's hockey play tonight at home. Get your tickets. Tune in to Radio Laurier. We'll cover that game. Also, OUA TV for a visual stream. But if you just want the radio, want the audio, we'll hold it for you. They face tonight against the first-ranked Concordia team at the Rec Complex tonight. Also, home games, AC Complex, the Athletic Complex Gym, host the women's hockey, women's basketball and men's basketball games. It's Culture Night. Embrace your Culture Night at the AC Gym. Both teams taking on the visiting Western Mustangs. Look to make some moves towards the playoff line. Also in action, women's hockey at Brock on the road, but they play tomorrow also at home at the Rec Complex against York tonight in Brock. Tomorrow night taking on the visiting York. So tomorrow night they're at home. So you can go tonight, catch men's hockey at the Rec Complex, and then go tomorrow night and catch women's hockey at the Rec Complex. Or if you're just free tonight, take in women's basketball and men's basketball, two for the price of one tonight on campus, Athletic Complex Gym. Great weekend for Laurier Sports. Been a great week for Laurier Sports, too, including Tara Elgersma's appearance south of the border at Prospect Bowls. The cheerleading teams, the curling teams, all doing quite strongly. A couple of Laurier alumni getting signed to the CFL. All fun things going on for Golden Hawk Sports. This has been Golden Bold. Have a great afternoon.